God's word is going to be really quickened to your heart today. I'm not even sure which way I'll go. I might break. We'll pray. We'll sing. We'll pray for the sick, and then we'll continue. Are you okay? Yes. Yes. We'll just see how the spirit guides. Yes. I come as like somebody who is pregnant with something from the spirit. And tighten your seatbelt. Keep your spiritual ears open, your antenna up, and we command every work of the enemy to be silenced now. Every wandering mind be brought under the influence of the blood of Jesus. I pray every trouble, anxiety, every concern in your heart. Holy Spirit, may your peace brood over the waters of our heart. In the name of Jesus, thank you for answered prayer. Amen. The title of the message is Made Alive with Christ. Thank God for Easter weekend and what a remembrance of what Jesus has done for us, with us, and for us. So the slide is going to come up. I'm going to invite us, if you don't mind, we'll stand one more time. I know we've been standing a few times. The worship has been amazing. Let's stand and read God's word together, please. Thank you. Okay. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read together. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Thank you very much. Please give the Lord a clap offering. Thank you so much. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. So, the passage, there's a lot in it, and it can be taught over a year, and you still not have exhausted it. But we'll do what we can within the time we've got. So, if the next slide comes up, please, just to break up the 10 verses. So, this is how we're going to try and go through this morning. So, verse 1 to 3 talks about the fact that we're made alive. We were made alive when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 4, made alive because of his great love. Verse 5 to 7, made alive together with Christ. Verse 8 to 9, made alive by the grace through faith. And verse 10, made alive to do good works. Okay. So, made alive when we were dead. We know that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. God made a plan for our salvation when he created us. He made a plan that when we miss it, we'll be restored. Many of us know this, but I pray today that the Holy Spirit will open our eyes afresh. Now you have a fresh excitement of your salvation, and that as a church, we will be empowered, we will be encouraged to extend the boundaries of the kingdom, that every one of us will be actively used of God to reach somebody and allow the kingdom of God's power to flow in us and through us wherever we find ourselves. Amen? Amen. So let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. In chapter 1 and chapter 2, we know God created. Everything was beautiful. A verse that really caught my attention when I was rereading this. I've read it a countless number of times, but I was reading it again. Verse 9 says something that is so beautiful. He says, chapter 2 of verse 9, he says, "And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight." Everybody say with me, please, pleasant to the sight,
pleasant to the sight.
And good for food.
Wow.
God made beauty. He made things for us to enjoy. So pleasure is God's idea. Somebody say with me, pleasure is God's idea. God made things so that we could just admire. He made things for us to enjoy. But he also made things to sustain us in life. So there are some things you can just admire and think, wow, we live on this side of the fall. But pre the fall, everything was perfect. Everything God made was beautiful. And that's not the end of the story. The fall is not the end. There's going to be a recreation where everything again will be perfectly beautiful. And I know I will see you there. I plan to be there. I trust you do too. So God made things for our pleasure, like food. God gave food for pleasure, but also for sustenance. God created sex within the context of marriage, for pleasure and for procreation. God created beauty. You could admire the flowers. God created the fruit so you could see them. So, wow, this is beautiful. Everything God created was beautiful. God gave man dominion. He says, "I give you power." However, then he says, in the midst of the garden, the Bible says there were two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God made it very clear in verse 17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely," not just die, but surely die. That's profound. This tree has been taught to mean a number of things. One of the ways to see it is that God said to man, "You've got a free will, but you were created for dependence." Somebody say with me, created for dependence. You know, that's how we were designed. We were designed not to function without God. Man could not was not designed to function without God. But God still said, you have the choice to make. You can choose your way, or you can choose to be dependent on me. And guess what we did? We did. Because we were all in Adam and Eve. We were all there. Some people say, "I would not have done that." You would have done worse. Because for God to be fair, we would have all done that. Otherwise, somebody could say, "I wouldn't do that." And God will just show you, no. It's like Peter saying, "Jesus, I'm going to the cross with you. You're not going to die. I'm going to die with you." And Jesus said, "Peter, take it easy. I know you love me, but I'm not quite sure you're there yet. Before the cock crows, you would have denied me three times." So when we are judging people in the Bible, just remember, human beings haven't changed. There's nothing new under the sun. Just comes in different forms. So, Adam and Eve representing us. Adam chose to disobey. Eve was deceived, but Adam disobeyed. They're not the same, but that's for another day. Disobedience is an act of your will. that you knowingly commit. When you're deceived, you could be tricked. But when you go in with your eyes open, that is willful disobedience. Have we all done that before? Oh, please, speak to me. Do we still do that? Some of us are a bit shy. Yes, they disobeyed. We disobeyed. And we chose our independence. And God said that when you choose your independence, everything I created for your good will be corrupted. That's why pleasures are corrupted. Are we together? That is why even God's provision he gave has resulted in people going for more than they need. Because desires have been corrupted. When God gave man power to exercise dominion, that has also been corrupted. And that is why we see in every human relationship, whether it's in the house, it's in the church, it's in the family, it's in government, it's in business, we see power is misused. Are we together?
Yes.
And yet it was given from the beginning. That's why our desires, when they are not brought under the influence of the Holy Spirit, even the Christian, your fleshly desire can take you down the wrong path. That's why we need to crucify this thing. And there may be people even sitting here, and you know your life is not straight with God. I plead with you, don't be one of those who just does the hallelujah, the jamboree in the church. But you know your life is not straight with God. I encourage you today. Today is the day to come back to the altar. Say, Jesus, I surrender afresh to you. I bring my flesh under control. I bring my mindset under control. I bring my desires in alignment with your truth. Holy Spirit, help me, I pray. Help me, Lord. It is even possible to preach it and not live it. That's how the Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. He can be teaching it and not living it. That's how we should pray for our leaders. Are we together so far? This is just the warm-up. This is just the introduction. Yeah. Made alive when we were dead. So in our death, plans were made so that we will be restored. So Jesus came. The only one who lived perfectly as a human being, absolutely dependent on the Father. Filled with the Holy Spirit. He taught us how to live a life of dependence. So that, because independence leads to death. That is why he never did anything of his own will. He said, what I do is what the Father is doing. I live my life dependent on him. Are we together?
Yes.
We are still learning that. Even those of us who have come to Christ, we're still learning how to be absolutely dependent on the Lord. That's why we crucify our flesh daily. Change our mindset with God's word daily, moment by moment. There are times I have a thought flash on my mind and I just rebuke it. So if you're walking close to him, you just hear me say, I rebuke you in the name of, you think what am I saying? Yeah, it's a thought. It's a thought. It's a thought. It's a thought that has come to my mind that should not stay. Bring every, take every thought captive. You bring it under the authority of Christ. And sometimes the thoughts are very, you know, when you train your mind with God's word, so much so that when a foreign thought comes that is not in alignment with God's truth, the signal goes, pam, pam, pam. The alarm goes, this is a foreign thought. This is not a kingdom thought. This is not of Christ. Pam, 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 pam. But that comes by renewing your mind with God's word. So I want to encourage you, if you're an early Christian, look, when I was a young believer, I used to sometimes struggle with some temptations. I used to say, Lord, I mean, I'm reading this thing in the Bible. I'm not living this victory life. If you're there, Don't condemn yourself. It's a journey. I've been on this journey for almost 40 years by the grace of God. I've disciplined myself in some areas. So I've noticed the grace of God. So if you are young in the faith, don't be discouraged. If you are still struggling, even with an addiction, I want to encourage you, don't lose faith. And let's not be quick to judge people. Because sometimes we forget where we used to be. And anybody can relate to what I'm talking about? It's like a parent. Your child is like a teenager. They are rebellious. And I remember one day my mom, when our children were young, they were really, really pulling my hair. She said, "This is how you were when you were young." I said, "No, surely I wasn't like that." She said, "Exactly. That's exactly what you were like." Sometimes we forget the struggles of the Christian faith. So don't be discouraged if you're still stumbling over certain habits. You're still stumbling. It's okay. It's okay. That's why we need each other. Please come and help me. That's why those who are stronger help those who are. Hold my hand.
You want me to help you?
Yeah. That's what the church is supposed to be. But sometimes the big brother, instead of holding the younger brother, what do? Sometimes we just hit them on the head. you can hit me on the head. Even worse, you know, sometimes the church is the worst place to come. Oh, I haven't finished. Sometimes the church is a place of judgment. It should not be so. May God help us all. Yes. Somebody say with me, God help us all. Are you still there?
I'm still here. Yeah.
Made alive. So our next point is verse 4. But God. Oh. But God. I said in the first service, in Hebrews chapter 2, it tells us that. Actually, you know what? You sit for a while.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. In Hebrews chapter 2, it reminds us that it was not for angels that the sacrifice of Calvary was made for. In fact, there was no provision for their forgiveness. As I was meditating, I've been thinking through things. I've got questions I don't have answers for yet. Satan rebelled in God's heaven, and he managed to convince a third of the angels with him because they had free will. And they were abandoned. And they are awaiting their final judgment. But there was no provision made for their forgiveness. No provision made for their restoration. No provision made. That's why the devil cannot repent. Are we together?
Yes.
But when man sinned, when man rebelled, when man listened to the devil instead of listening to God, it was a choice of the will. God loved man so much. He said, I've made provision for your fall. No wonder we are the envy of the enemy. Because God has made provision for the human fall, for the human disobedience. And Jesus came not for angels, but for human beings. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself Likewise, that's Jesus, shared in the same that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. Because once they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that the devil told them to eat of, he began to have access to every aspect of life, of human life, to influence. That's why he told us in Ephesians that he's the prince of the power of the air, influencing people who are called sons of disobedience. That includes men and women. And that's still happening today, everywhere you look. And sometimes even the church is still influenced by the prince of the power of the air. No wonder Jesus calls us to wage war against the works of the evil one. Because even sometimes the church is heavy. Because independent people want to do what they want to do. Somebody say, God have mercy. Oh, say it like you mean it. God have mercy. Are we all together so far? And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels. But, somebody say, but. He does. And he has given aid to the seed of Abraham. Somebody give the Lord praise. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for delivering us. Thank you for making a way that we can get back to you. We would have all been doomed to death without remedy. But thanks be to God. And that's why the enemy hates us. Because we are a trophy of the grace of God. It's only human beings that can enjoy the grace of God. And I pray that we will extend it to one another when we fall and when we falter. Because sometimes I think we forget that. We forget that we can falter. We forget that we can fall. We forget that we can slip. May the church be the place where we remember is the grace of God through faith that we are who we are. Okay, moving on. So he made us alive when we were dead. Number two, as I said in verse 4, because of his great love, Jesus showed us mercy by dying for us on the cross. And what took place on the cross was just amazing. So I'm going to ask for a volunteer. My brother, you look like you can be a volunteer. Yes, please come up. Yes. 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 Ron, I'll let you go. Yes. Okay. So you're going to be my Jesus. Is that okay? Yes. Okay. You got strong arms? Okay. All right. We'll come to the cross in a minute. Just for a second. Listen to this one. The emphasis is with. So verse 5 says, even when we were dead, so our past, as I've talked about, provision was made. Even when we were dead, in our sins and our trespasses and our disobedience, when we were dead, he made us alive together. So we're going to demonstrate this. We've not rehearsed this, so if we get it wrong, forgive us. Oh, no. So I'll stand in front of you. Okay. So that's our Jesus. I'm representing all of us. So it's important to realize that what Jesus did, he took our death. So when we share the gospel with people, it's important to explain Jesus took our death. So by faith, we see ourselves in him who died. So what happened after death? So let's pretend to die. So just... So we're dead. We're dead. But Jesus really died to pay the penalty for our disobedience. Because death came. It's okay. Death came because of sin. So death had to be defeated. But it could only be done by a perfect human being who lived in total obedience and in submission and not independent like us. Are we together?
Yes.
So we've demonstrated the fact that he died our death. He really died. But then something else happened. The Bible says he rose again. So we're going to jump together, okay? So are you getting this point?
Yes.
Now, I'm demonstrating this so you visually remember. Jesus didn't just resurrect. We who have come to faith, the Bible says we rose up with him. That is profound. It's taking me a long time to get it. So if you're still young, it's okay. The Christian journey, you're not going to get everything in one day. So keep coming, keep listening, keep reading the Bible, keep meditating. Some things will become clearer. I'm sure you're growing in your walk with God, are you not?
Yes.
There are some things you didn't understand, you understand better now. That's just how it is. So this is a good one. So he says we rose together. So we're going to jump together. 1, 2, 3, go. We rose together. Jesus, we're rising. 1, 2, 3, go. We rose together. Yeah. Listen. Resurrection, life, is in the believer. When you live in the reality of that revelation, I am dead with Christ. I have been raised with Christ. When you live in that living reality on a daily basis, it will change the way you live. It really will. Because we are now alive in him. It means his thoughts can be my thoughts. I can talk the way Jesus talks because I am alive in him. I'm alive with him. I'm raised with him. As Christ was raised, he empowered the church. So I believe that raising also means that he has empowered us. But the good news is that it's not just one person. Because sometimes we think it's just for the few. Brother, hallelujah, please come. Yes. Come. Okay. I'll get. Okay. That's good. Okay. Pastor Scott, you might as well. You might as well help me, whilst you're. Yes. I'm sorry. Listen. This is important. Because it is possible to think that Jesus did it for just me. But he did it for us. What did I say? Us. Us. I just let that sink. Us. The us revelation is very important. It's highly important. Because the reason why sometimes there's pride is because I think Jesus did it for me. But I'm not quite sure about him. Are you listening? Imagine if we truly believed that. So we do it together. So Jesus died for both of us. So We stand in front of Jesus. Jesus died for both of us. He died for all of us. Not just me. Not just you. It's not just the KT gang. It's not just the Ealing group. It's not just the Pentecostal. Are we going somewhere? Because it's sometimes possible to think if somebody's not in your local church, they're kind of like second class. You know, like we are the premiership. They are like championship. League one. But if we're in Christ, what Jesus did for me, he did for my brother and my sister. So what does that make us? We're brothers. Joint heirs with Christ. Together. So how should we treat each other? I can't hear you. With love? Something else? Care? Mercy? Compassion? Grace? Somebody shout something from this side. Forgiveness? Somebody, patience? Somebody this side? Love? Unity? Kindness? Yes. Ask yourself. No wonder Jesus prayed. Father, help them to see themselves like that. That's revelatory. Sometimes the truth is in our head. It hasn't yet got here. I pray, Holy Spirit, take off our blindfolds. Because if we truly see ourselves that our identity is only in Christ, then our identity is not in our ethnicity, primarily. It's not in our church affiliation. Oh, your hands are... Are you listening? This is where we get our identity from. This is who we get our identity from. So if we all receive our identity from him, the Holy Spirit wants to help us to truly be family. And sometimes being family is hard. Anybody can relate to what I'm saying? And Jesus knew that. So he prayed for us. And he told the disciples, there will be offenses that will come. There will be issues. Scott, Pastor Scott, you slap me. Okay? I will step on your toe. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So I can choose, after you've slapped me, you know what I'll try to do? I think I'm going to slap him back. What do you reckon? Listen, that's the flesh. Are we together?
Yes.
What did I say? That's the flesh. And we all, even those who are born again, can slip into our flesh from time to time. But Jesus is calling us to know that we have been raised together. So, Pastor Scott, we're all going to jump together. 1, 2, 3, go. We're all raised together. And the next one is what? He says, we're all what? Seated together. Seated. Listen. It gets deeper. To be seated together means Christ has empowered his church. Because in chapter 1, verse 21 tells us, that Christ has been raised far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. That is why, by faith, we should see ourselves that we have died with Christ, we have been raised together with Christ, and now we're seated in a place of kingdom, dominion, and authority. So the power of the prince of the air that is still at work when you and I join forces with Christ, together the church can declare to principalities and powers in the name of Jesus. And destroy the works of wickedness. Sometimes, the reason why we see a limitation of the power of God is because of the revelation of our unity that we have not yet stepped into. Because there are greater levels of authority that God releases through his church, where there is spiritual unity in a town and in a city, in a family, in a church. There are some things that may not move when one person prays, but there are things that shake when there's unity in the spirit. Because the you there, in the original language, is actually plural. It's not necessarily individual. But the individual is within the plural. Are we together? So, and you he made alive. So together, we can then command and release people who are still in darkness. And that is why we're called to be a praying people that share the gospel so that those who are still in darkness will be brought into light. We're going to pray in a minute. I want to invite you to call out some names. I'm going to pray spiritual eyes to be open. So as we partner with Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, united in love, we will do amazing things for the glory of God. I encourage you, if there's anybody that God has called you to walk with, walk together. Let's do this together so that we can push back the boundaries of the kingdom of darkness. Thank you, guys. Give them a thank you. I'm going to invite us to pray in a minute. I'm not sure I even finished everything I wanted to say, but we'll be bringing it to an end. All of this he did by his grace, and we receive it by faith so that we can do good works.